Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
March 22, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? You can hear what I'm saying. Anyway, it is Tuesday. It is Tuesday. It should be the second broadcast day of the week here on the O'Shelly Effect. But last night, I was totally frustrated and a little sun poisoned. So I decided I shouldn't go on and slur and sound like I've got a fever because I had one. Anyway, we're back at it. And I'm glad we are. Tuesdays are going to be different from now on, and I promise you that, but always good stuff. Best I can bring it. Addy Ads is with us. Now, you may recall that I called upon Addy Ads because he was at the Maxwell trial not too long ago, and we're going to catch up with him and see what's gone on since then. I know I've spoken to him since the Maxwell trial ended, so don't remind me of that. Save your email. it's just that Addy's constantly active. So he went through Georgia, didn't even stop by to see me, and he went to Florida at one point, and I know he's done other stuff. We're going to get into it. Second hour, we're going to talk to an old friend of the show who has not been around in the media lately, but she's been doing other things, and you might want to hear about it, because getting back to basics might be a smart thing to do. Christy Aphrodite will be with us in the second hour. So in case you don't know who she is, you're going to figure that one out real quick. Anyhow, Addy Ads, first off, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Chuck. Thanks again for having me on the show. You know, I think I'm starting to prefer radio interviews because I can just, you know, I don't have to show my face.
Listen, I am not anxious to show my face. People have been trying to talk me into doing video, and I'm like, I don't want to do video. I just,
you know, right.
I got a face for radio. I'm done. I'm good. Besides that, you got long hair, too. And it's a pain in the neck. You got to sit there. You got to get it out of the way. The headphones. Ah, who wants to do all that? I mean, I can just throw a bandana over my head or whatever. I don't care. And here I am, right? So it's not
there
a problem.
You make up for it with a great voice. So it all works out. But yeah, it's nice. It's just nice. You know, it's different. It's a different experience. But I could do both, obviously. But yeah, I think I like the radio format a lot. That's actually how I started, was doing college radio.
Oh, cool. Listen, I loved college radio. I'm older than you, so I could tell you about the ancient equipment they used to have and all that, which probably some of those places still have it. You know, like they literally had those cartridge machines and all that.
Oh, wow. Wow, sure.
Well, it was the 90s, and I was a musician, so I would go to be interviewed, and I also had friends that had radio shows, you know. But anyway, look, we can put all that aside. What I love about Addy, too, is that he just turns around and he hits his vape while he's on video, and he's just chilling.
It's like, true.
Some people worry about that. Like, oh, I don't want to be seen because I smoke, you know, and I know that looks bad. And, I, yeah, okay, old man, who smokes anymore? But the thing is, it's like you just straight up hit your vape and, you know, you keep your focus. I love that. You're good on video. I would not be good on video.
But, oh, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying, I do actually follow some of your other work, and I do follow you on Twitter, which, by the way, I'm going to give you guys the links to follow Addy on Twitter and on all these platforms. He's got stuff going on Rumble he puts up. I can't remember everything, but I've got it all saved. So it'll be in the show notes. I'll give you his – I think he's got a Buy Me a Coffee. He's got a PayPal, all different ways, okay? To contribute
yes.
to
wow.
his work and follow it. And I'm going to give you, it's like 10 things. Okay. So
thank you. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. Yeah. Any help is appreciated. Even just sharing, you know, sharing an interview with people like, it helps.
Well, listen, I appreciate the shares and everything. And I appreciate that you brought, you know, some really fascinating information. And so again, I'm going to call on you for it because I did go over intensely the whole thing about the Maxwell trial. And then you started to travel a little bit. So honestly, maybe listeners haven't heard since then because you had just left Georgia, I think, the last time we talked. You know, I talk to a lot of people, so I could be a little confused, but I think you had left Georgia, and I said you should have stopped by, but you just didn't happen to come by Macon. Anyway, whatever
yes,
it
yes.
is, what has been going on since? Because I know you had a little bit of follow-up that you were going to do maybe on the Maxwell thing, but that's hard to get at right now because seems like nobody wants to talk about that. All they want to talk about is Putin and the Ukraine, and I'm fed up with that beyond belief. So, you know, and as much as it is an important issue, and I am anti-war, and I'm not going to go through that again because I've said it 30 times now on the show. You know, I don't believe I would love to see it if we could all simply not do this, because to me, war is nothing but justifiable murder, and I don't care what uniform people are wearing. So that's that. Anyway, I don't want to go through that anymore. I would love to go through whatever it is that you've been following, because, again, I knew you were going to try to follow up on that, but there hasn't been a lot to report, I think, outside of what? There's a continuation of the lawsuit. I don't think much has come out about that. You know, stuff like this. So keeping your ear to the ground with that, trying anyway, has there been anything new that you need to report there?
Yeah, so... Yeah, a couple trials going on. We got Giuffre, Virginia Roberts Giuffre, and Prince Andrew, and they did file their stipulation for a settlement out of court, disappointing many people that Giuffre settled for some £12 million, which is about $18 million or so. That's just a rough estimate there. So that was disappointing, I think, for a lot of people that Giuffre settled. As far as Maxwell's trial, she is still proceeding forth with her legal team's motions for a mistrial. And that is basically in a hurry up and wait phase. We had a jurgate, as people are calling it, hearing on the 8th of this month in New York, in Manhattan. I attended that at Thurgood Marshall. It was a pretty light day. We got out, I think, before noon. And, you know, this juror Scotty David, coming out to Lucia Osborne Crowley, an Australian-based reporter who works for The Independent, revealing that he was a victim of child sexual abuse. That started, you know, kind of the whole Jurgate media storm. Interestingly enough, this Independent reporter, Lucia Crowley, was not at the Jurgate hearing. Also absent were the other rock stars like Vicky Ward from MSNBC, even though she was in town, as far as I know. In town, that's what we say in the Midwest. I don't know if you say that on the East Coast.
I got but, you. Yeah. It's okay.
And then Julie K. Brown, the recently sued Julie K. Brown, who was sued by Haley Robson and Courtney Wilde, who are Epstein Network victims. They asserted that Julie K. Brown of the Miami Herald, who again, I need to do my homework on her, but I've heard multiple people contend she's kind of someone who takes more credit for the Epstein, any justice that may have happened to Epstein, than maybe she deserves. She recently got sued by two Epstein victims, so she was a no-show as well. But basically what happened is they got to hear from Scotty David, juror number 50. Why did he lie on the questionnaire and say he hadn't been a victim of child sexual abuse? He gave excuses such as he was distracted by the fact he recently broke up with his ex. There was a lot of noise. It was a relatively long session, a couple hours. I think it was question 48. It's one of the last questions on the questionnaire. And it, depending on who you ask, some people believed him. Some people didn't. I gotta say, I'm inclined not to trust this guy. But you know, just subjectively, emotionally, I did feel a little bit more sympathetic to him when I was there in the trial. And
I want to ask you about that. Yeah. Wait, see, I want to ask you about that for a second, because okay, you got to see it, but I'm just saying objectively from a distance, right? frankly, there's, I don't know, like a greater stigma even with, you know, men who have survived some of these things earlier in life. And quite frankly, there are people that you know for years and years before they ever reveal. They reveal every dark secret in the world, but they never let that go. There's a lot of guys like that. And I'm just trying to be objective here, Addie, right? I've known plenty of guys like this. And the truth is that almost every male I've ever gotten close to who is, you know, remotely my contemporary, turns out that at some point they were victimized by something. But it doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I automatically assume that this guy is just trying to hide that out of shame, but it's a possibility. What was the explanation that they presented for him, you know, effectively? Yeah, you might not remember. I mean, I've heard of people even going, well, I didn't realize that was a felony, you know, when they're filling out a job application. And I get it, because at certain points, like if it's 20 years ago, maybe you don't know that you were convicted of a minor felony because you got to walk. And you, in your mind, you think, well, if it's a felony, you go to prison. Not always true. You know what I'm saying? Or was that DUI a felony or was it not? And I've heard of people honestly lying on questionnaires like this, right? So it's a possibility. It's also a possibility of just somebody not wanting to cop to that because it's just, I don't know, more ugly as a man. So I could see that sympathy coming out. But then what's the story here? What did we learn during this, during these hearings? I mean, what did they come up with outside of, I mean, it's impossible to get into somebody's mind, really, unless they told somebody else and indicated something. So, I mean, how did this come out, like, exactly?
Yeah, so he did kind of mention that a bit. He said, among other things, I didn't think that I would be chosen for this jury. He seriously didn't think that. So in that sense, it's something that, you know, like you mentioned, as a layperson is, you know, entirely believable. And I think that's partially why I was a bit more sympathetic to him. Yeah. I couldn't tell if he was a very smart person or not, to be honest. He does work for the Carlyle Group. But, you know, what does that mean? How did he get that job? And that was a whole other discussion, too, when I found out there was a Frank Carlucci CIA connection there. Before Scotty David was there. Nonetheless, it is a very powerful money management group. And that combined with the fact that we learned that he had gotten explicit permission from the Carlyle Group to speak to the media. Why was that? And going back to those mainstream reporters, it did seem to me that Vicky Ward facilitated that story coming out kind of behind the scenes. It seems she kind of took Crowley under her wing a bit over the course of the trial. And from the point of view of justice, it's like, why would you want to release that story? And this is, I think it's a contentious argument among the reporters who covered the trial. I know a lot of them were like really mad at Lucia Crowley for doing that because they knew there was a chance it could cause a mistrial. And lo and behold, it's still a possibility with these proceedings going. Wow. But on the other hand, there's the journalistic question of, well, it is the truth. And there is that First Amendment speech. And it is a debate among true crime reporters of should it be like the United Kingdom where the jury they can't say anything because the king says they can't, you know, or should it be like in America where maybe you probably shouldn't say anything, but you should have that right to, you know, so it is a debate.
Right. No, I look, and again, I'm just the whole thing is always suspect when this stuff gets, you know, they start dragging through the jurors and there's always I always have a feeling that no matter what, if you dig deep enough on the people in the box there, you could probably find a reason to disqualify them. And it's all about, you know, the amount of resources you have. And if you can do that, you can undermine any verdict because eventually, sure. You know, put 12 people in a room. I know it's weird to say this, but quite frankly, you put 12 of anybody in a room, guaranteed somebody's got some kind of strange things in their past. You know what I mean? No matter how you choose them out of the public. So, you know, again, I'm trying to be objective here, but when it comes to these things, it's hard. Because like you said, look, when you got the Carlyle Group involved, why would they need to give permission to the guy? All right, I can figure that one out, but then again, it almost doesn't make sense because, okay, the Carlyle Group works with a lot of classified stuff, point blank. So they have security clearances and therefore have to control what's known about their personnel. I would say that, but... Does it make sense in this regard? It's a personal situation. I don't think it shouldn't, but actually can undermine somebody's personal ability to have access to classified documents and things or classified information or classified projects if they are considered to be compromised for one reason or another. And as unfair as it might sound, if somebody's got depending on the project, right, there could be various reasons as to why it is somebody might not have access because of something in their past that makes absolutely no sense. For instance, if they're working with certain chemicals and somebody has a bad history of doing the wrong things with chemicals, you know, you don't necessarily want to trust them with classified information about brand new chemical or brand new weaponry or, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different ins and outs on that. But when it comes down to this thing, the whole thing just stinks really weirdly. And I'm not sure what to make of it again, especially adding in Ward, who tries to take credit for things and yet never really pulls the trigger on what it is she could have access to, looks like to me. And,
yeah.
You know, when you start involving these other journalists, it gets even weirder. So I'm thinking out loud, Addy. I'm sorry. But it's just,
Don't worry. This is great.
You try and work it through and you go, okay, let's look at this objectively. And I try and do that with every single thing. You know, I'm not one of these people like, I know a guilty person when I see him. Although sometimes we all do that. But honestly, you know, if you try and step back and go, okay, let's think about this as logically and rationally and connected to the real world. Problem is, a lot of this stuff is not connected to what most of us accept as the real world. So hard to go through. Anyway, anytime you get in any of these sorts of things, it's just always, there's never clear cut anything, is all I'm saying. And when you try and get into this guy's mind, why did he lie on the thing? You know, was it an honest omission? Did he not think of it at the time? It's fully possible that he could have, but then again, when he's making an admission that he knew he would not be chosen for the trial, well, then that means he might have really wanted to get chosen for this, and that's never a good sign.
Right, and that was something that people brought up too, was maybe he just wants attention. You know, he just wanted to get chosen, and you know, for whatever reason, you know, he just wants attention. And after the fact, he's like, oh, you know, I could get some media attention that way. Because Judge Nathan did bring that up too. He said, I don't usually tell people about my child sexual abuse. But then Nathan's like, well, why did you talk to The Independent about it? Mm-hmm. Which he couldn't really answer. But again, it's something he talked about as not identifying as a victim anymore. And he felt that, you know, it didn't affect his ability to be impartial. So we'll see what the court decides. But, you know, most of the people that I've talked to, they think it's still a pretty low chance that it could result in a mistrial. But again, her sentencing wasn't scheduled for, I think, at least a couple weeks until afterwards. So That was another thing that was out of the norm.
Well, and here's the thing. You know what? You can definitely show that there's a doubt here, but is it a fully reasonable doubt? Right?
Right.
Normally that's the, you know, that's the metric used to judge whether somebody's guilty. You know, can you prove it beyond a reasonable doubt? So you got to kind of reverse it in all legal things and say, well, to a reasonable certainty, you know, can we say that this is a problem or not? And here we go again. I guess totally subjective. And again, I'm trying to step back and go, let's think about this as, you know, far away as possible. But who knows how it'll really turn out. And meanwhile, still the sentencing awaiting, right? So, all right. Anyway, I interrupted you. You were in the midst of telling this whole thing about Crowley and, you know, and how, you know, the different stuff is going on with the journalists and all that, which is also a weird thing. I talked to you about those documentaries, I think, a few times ago. And, It's like, you know, those things are very strange because they just stop short of the real details. And I got to say another thing. It gets less attention. It seems to me like when the issue then is somehow centered on the male who is trafficked. I don't know why. But anyway, that's just my thought. Let's move forward, though, because I'm sure there was more to report there. And you felt a little bit of sympathy with the guy because you were present with him in the courtroom. Did they actually let you near him now? No more of the COVID craziness or what?
Yeah, you know what's funny about that, Chuck, is I think I drank two energy drinks in the morning, or maybe it was just one, but I had to use the bathroom a second time. So it was right – we had been waiting because I used it right at 10. And it's 10:25 and nothing has happened yet, and I have to go to the bathroom again. And so on the way out, I passed right by him in the door as he was entering the courtroom. So that was kind of interesting because afterwards, I was trying to successfully get in, which I did. Mm-hmm. And because I did, I took that risk. I didn't get anybody entering, but I did get Isabel Maxwell leaving and Scotty David leaving. So I got to ask him a couple questions about, you know, what I mentioned with the CIA connection to the Carlyle Group. He didn't give any response, but I did get a little Cheez-Its done. I offered him a box of Cheez-Its. and the reason for that, I'll explain the Cheez-It quip. He was seen leaving his apartment the week of the Independent article, I want to say it was the first week of the year, actually. And for some reason, he had a travel bag, a mask on, and then a family-sized box of Cheez-Its. So it just seemed kind of random to me. So I thought it would, if anything, just bring some more attention to that. And then I got to talk to Isabel Maxwell and ask her about the World Economic Forum a little bit. Seemed to open up to me a bit. I mean, I did get her to at least verbalize a tiny bit, and then Leah Safian as well was talking to me. So that was, you know, that was an interesting interaction for sure. But yeah, as far as, you know, what else David said, like I mentioned, it was a relatively short day out before noon. Right. You know, said more or less the same things. He did apologize. He said, I'm sorry for wasting people's time and money. Yeah, you know, it was, you know, another highlight to connect with that guy. In so far as getting them exiting the courthouse. But then I did meet up with an academic professor as well, who's been covering the case for a book and for his class, his criminology class, mm-hmm. Thomas Volschel. So I got to interview him. We talked about Epstein's money, which is the focus of his book, which I think is a topic that is undercovered. And I'm really looking forward to him coming out with that book. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was a relatively short day. The Maxwells, you know, the only contingency from that, or the only person from that contingency really was Isabel. I didn't see any other siblings, and just the one lawyer. But it was good to get into the courtroom itself. I saw Ghislaine. She was wearing the blues, like the federal blues. So okay. No nice sweater. No makeup, I don't think, and she seemed to be very embarrassed by that, the fact that she wasn't very put together, because during the trial, the jury was there, and she was wearing sweaters, and they were nice clothes, and she had dyed hair and makeup, and this time, she didn't seem to be doing that well, insofar as her body language was not as confident. It was almost arrogant during the trial. This time, you know, because I do think she has a large portion of her self-esteem tied up in how she perceived by other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, with her history as just being a general socialite, of course. You made another interesting point here, which I want to see that professor's book, because, quite frankly, I don't think anybody, and there's been a lot of, you know, so-called experts on Epstein that have been out mm-hmm. there talking about this for years. And some of them I'm friendly with, and I got to tell you, they're always stumped by a couple of my questions about, well, how the hell did he end up with that much money that fast? And nobody has a conclusive answer. They got plenty of guesses, but nobody's ever been able to track it down. you know, we can account for some of his money, but there's no big deals. There's no paperwork backing where some of that money came from. Nobody's ever tracked it down adequately, in my mind. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's somebody has. Maybe this professor has. But to me, that's always been an open question. Like, how did this guy even get to be a billionaire to begin with?
Right.
You know, like, I understand how he got millions of dollars. But a couple million, 10 million, 20, 40, 50, $100 million does not get you to a billion. You know, unless you can sort of figure out how that grew. And from what I could see, he was supposed to be an investor. Where are his investments? You know what I mean? You see endowments. You see stuff where he made charitable donations. You can track all that stuff. But to me, the root of his money is not fully known still. I'm wondering what lurks in that pile of paperwork. But you know what I'm saying here. It has not been laid out. And the man's dead, and we still can't get it all. Okay.
Yeah. So no, it's a great point, and it's a point that a few other people I've spoken to have made as well, which is why I'm really excited to see what he's going to talk about in the book. But my interview with Thomas Volschel is on Rockfin. If people want to check it out, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. And because I do plan on writing a more fleshed out book on the Epstein Maxwell network that's more research and intelligence heavy,
right,
and really trying to answer some of those harder questions, because my book on the Maxwell trial does include some of that back history and intelligence, but it also is more so my experience of covering the trial And, you know, there's a little more to it. It's not quite as long. It's only about 100 pages or so. So former book I talked about, will hopefully try to get into that a little bit. And I'm hoping to make use of, you know what I think it is, Chuck? I think there's Epstein researchers. They're waiting for that question to be answered, I think, and maybe one or two others before they release their book, and nobody can figure it out yet.
Yeah,
so,
I absolutely agree with you. And don't you mirror all that stuff on BitChute also, by the way?
Yeah, I try to mirror stuff on BitChute, Rumble, but my time, I'm pretty much a one-man show still. So
right.
I just, you know, I have to pick and choose and change tactics at times. So I'm really sending everybody to Rockfin if you want my most up-to-date video broadcasts.
Okay.
I would go to Rockfin. Up-to-date, you know, just updates in general. Twitter or Telegram is good as well. So, those where you can find me.
No, I just wanted to make sure, because I know I was looking at you on BitChute for a little while, and I realized I was a little behind. And but you constantly put out the updates on Twitter and all that. So, okay, Rockfin though has like what all the videos pretty much that pertain to this, right?
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I have a PureTube as well, but I'm really trying to send people to Rockfin. It seems to be growing pretty steadily, and that's something too I should check, because you know, dealing with getting censored means sometimes you lose videos if they're not backed up, which I don't think I've lost any work because I've been pretty good about backing stuff up. But you do kind of forget where you know, videos are or not. So I really should double check on that, because you know, that being said, you do pay for Rockfin, I think, for premium content. But on my channel, I publish everything for free, so I'm still pretty much 100% you know, listener supported.
Okay, excellent. And like I said, there's going to be all these links anyway, so I'll give you guys the Rockfin as well. But, all right, so back to the content again. You've gone past this, though. You've done some other stuff, too, and I know that trip to, you know, through Georgia into Florida had nothing to do with the trial necessarily, so although there was some other stuff you were working on there. And, you know, so let's catch up with the rest of that with the remaining half hour here, and get into whatever else it is you're going to do next also. So let's catch up with the rest, because obviously this isn't the only thing you do.
Right.
So go ahead, man.
Yeah, so you mentioned I was in Georgia, and I can update people on what's been going on there. I have been covering the actions of a nonpartisan voter or an election integrity group called Voter GA, and I wrote an article about it on my Substack, where they proved 2020 election tampering of ballot images, and this is in Fulton County, Georgia, which is one of the hot counties. For those following that, they released in the release of their intent to file both a temporary and permanent injunctions. This was in their press release at the beginning of this month, so about 3 weeks ago, to ban a cloud computing scheme regarding storage of personal voter information, not in local hard drives, but rather in the cloud. That obviously is a security problem, and that's what this group, Voter GA, based in both Roswell and Atlanta, has been trying to do. They announced a 15-point analysis providing conclusive evidence of electronic manipulation of those results in 2020, particularly in Fulton County. So this is their research and their study was mainly focused on Atlantis County. And this was after about a year-length study of ballot images. And the reason these ballot images became publicly available, which people can actually access at gaballots.com, was because of a bill, Senate Bill 202 is what it was called, that was passed in the Georgia legislature in 2021. So that made ballot images publicly accessible. And it was through that public access that this citizen group, a nonprofit was able to analyze the information, discovering over 17,000 certified voters in Fulton County had no ballot images.
Yeah.
All in-person ballot images were missing for the original count, totaling over 374,000 counts of that missing. And Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, according to Voter GA, violated election privacy laws, competitive bid practices, and exceeded the authority given to him by the General Assembly with regards, again, to this cloud computing scheme. So the cloud technology wherein they want to store this PII, personally identifiable information of the voters. So that being said, there's a former rep who appeared alongside Favorito, Georgia State Rep Paul Brown, who came after Raffensperger pretty hard. And they also brought up other counties too, like Cobb County. Some counties were trying to sell their surveillance footage and like price gouge it. One reporting was they were trying to sell it, one county, for $15,000, the surveillance footage of the election drop boxes. So, you know, a lot of stuff going on there in Georgia. I don't know what's going to happen as far as the results of this, but I just try to report on it and bring attention to the important stuff that's underrepresented there. So there's another House bill, a bill they're trying to bring up as well, and that's a House Bill 933 introduced January 14th of this year, which again has to do with elections, relating to elections and primaries, revising provisions related to the retention and preservation of ballots, election documents as well, and removing provisions for keeping those documents under seal. So again, trying to improve transparency. And sponsors of that bill included some other Georgia reps, including Shaw Blockman, Jan Jones, Will Wade of Georgia's 146th, 47th, and 9th districts, respectively. So in effect, it will make physical ballots public record. So
it's
a long battle. I think it's a long-term battle.
Well, not only is it a long battle, but a lot of people think that the direction of what is corrupt in Georgia goes one way, and it doesn't. This is, you know, Greg Palast learned this the hard way. I tried to explain it to him, you know, because he was looking after people being purged from the rolls by the Republicans, which is true. But the problem is that it goes in all directions, and this state top to bottom, except for, you know, some blue splashes, which cause it to be sort of a purple state, in reality, are absolutely top to bottom controlled by the GOP. And this is not like the national GOP. This is very much like, welcome to Georgia, okay? They control this, and they don't want transparency. The people that are on the other side don't want transparency. They just compete with one another in all sorts of treachery. This is the way this runs. And quite frankly, they got beat a little bit on those Senate races, because that shouldn't have happened in the state of Georgia, okay? They got beat when Warnock and who was that other guy? I can't even remember his name now. It doesn't matter. The two Democratic senators who got sent from Georgia. Total freak show there. That shouldn't happen. And I'm not saying that the vote wouldn't have represented it. What I'm saying is these guys are tripping over each other, manipulating the votes, okay? And it is a whole elaborate mess. And that's what I had to learn here over the past, you know, living here since, let me think, since 2015. I've had to learn this, and apparently long history. You know, this is the home of the backroom deal. They have little pancake breakfasts in the different, you know, like in the different sectors that they divided up among the GOP. The Democrats have no control of anything outside of like Atlanta and a couple of other cities. They actually, I'm in a blue district, okay? You wouldn't know it, but I'm in a blue district, okay? And it's very, very weird. These guys, find me a Georgia politician who isn't corrupt. Just good luck on it. They don't even want, there's a lady down here who goes around just trying to film the different public events, and she's been beaten up and thrown out and everything else because they don't want anybody filming the public discussions they have. even. These little tiny coffee clutches all over the state that totally control stuff. They've done things like, you know, screwed around with the polling areas. They've had people put up like fake posts on Facebook where I can't prove that it was done by a particular political action committee or anything, but you kind of know what happened here. You know, they're giving false polling places to people. No, it's been changed. And then the thing disappears, right? All, you name it. Okay, just you name it, every which way. As far as the vote goes in Georgia, it probably went the right way in 2020 in my mind, but only because nobody could figure out how to steal it any better. That's the only thing. To me, it's just a competition between criminals. And I'm not even registered to vote in this state. I will not register. I don't even want to register here. Last time I registered was in North Carolina, and I was registered. Only political party I've ever registered with is Libertarian. Other than that, I've always been unaffiliated. But I won't even register here. I don't want to get involved. Okay, I don't even want to. I don't want to go to the polling place. I don't want to go through the whole thing. I don't want to go where you know, suddenly a pipe bursts. And, you know, they got to close down the street. You know what I'm talking about. You see?
Or the wind blows open the Fulton County Prep Center door. Or the senator's, I'm sorry, the governor's daughter's boyfriend mysteriously blows up.
Yeah, stuff like that, you know. I'm just saying, it happened. I don't even want to go. Okay.
Yeah, so. I can't blame you. You know, it's one thing I realized covering that is there is a, there's a deep mob presence, whatever you want to call it, in Georgia.
And it's not even like, oh, just the Republicans are cheating and redistricting. No. And just the Democrats are turning around. No. It's everybody. It's the whole thing.
Definitely.
So, you know, and too funny, of course, I don't know if you watch Star Trek, but they made a bit of hay out of this. You heard about the Star Trek connection to Georgia, right?
I haven't, no.
Oh, Stacey Abrams showed up on the new Star Trek series.
Really?
As the president of Earth. Anyway, and the disinformation, the weirdness that goes on, and indeed, yes, it is the South, so there is still a Klan contingent, but believe me, there's also other angry contingents down here. It's just a mess. And I don't think anybody is ever going to straighten it out here. And look, I'm used to corruption. New Jersey is where I grew up, right? So, you know, I know what corrupt politicians look like. It's, you know, it's like, it's Tuesday. It's Jersey. It's corrupt. We know this. Somebody's paid off, you know, this one, whole bit, okay? But I've never seen anything like this where it's just out front, just all kinds of oops, you know? Like you said, windows blowing ballots around, pipes bursting and flooding the street with water, but they didn't really burst. And then maybe the power went out over here. We have the machines, but we don't have the plugs to put them into the wall. I mean, you know, welcome to Georgia. You want to find it? You can find it all here. It's hilarious to me. So, you know, the people that are like, oh, they stole it from Trump. Yeah, well, some people were trying to steal it from Trump, and some people were trying to steal it for Trump. And then some people, I don't know what they were doing, but screwing everything up. you know, so it's, who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, does it all cancel each other out? I'm not sure. But I do know that for the most part across the state, outside of some very strange strongholds, the whole state is controlled by the GOP. Take that for what you will. And I'm not saying that maybe they might not be the guys who are behind the times on the technology, and maybe they got beat on technology in certain places, but it's just a competition. It's an absolute mess, and that's why even my local mayor won't even talk to me on the show. Wow. And I do like him. I'm starting to like him a little less because I'm watching some things that are going on. But yeah, the mayor of Macon was supposed to be on my show and then did not come on.
Did he give you an excuse or a reason?
About scheduling. After he said it was fine, then, and he's available to everybody, and you can, if you live in Macon, you can DM him on Twitter and he'll answer your questions, even whatever you need. You want to find out about your garbage cans, I know this for a fact, he'll answer you directly. And he sees, I'm willing to speak to any resident of Macon anytime, except me.
I'm going to reach out to him. This is Lester Miller, right?
That's right.
Okay. Oh, look at that. Followed by Chuck Ocelli. So.
You see, we follow each other on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
But he said he would come on my show, and then he wouldn't answer me anymore. So it just stopped. Anyways, all I'm saying is that Georgia is a hilarious, and honestly, I do think the guy is trying to do some good things here, but he's just misguided. So I wanted to talk to him on the show a little bit, because it's about, I don't know if you heard about the anti-violence stuff that's been going on in some of the communities, because it's Georgia, which means you're not going to get anti-gun legislation through anywhere. So that's pointless. I don't care who you are. That's why I thought it was hilarious when Stacey Abrams ran. It was like, yeah, I'm not for you having your guns. You lost. This is Georgia. Okay? Everybody's got a gun in Georgia. Every house has a shotgun in it, at least. All right? So you're not winning in Georgia if you're the politician who's going to be the anti-gun person. It's stupid to even run. But anyway, back to it. I think the guy's trying some things, and look, there is an excessive level of violence in certain cities. A lot of shootings go on in Macon. You know, if you got a couple a week, that's a little too many for what we got here in Macon. People are spread out enough. We're not as congested as a lot of major cities. It's not a major city, and there is too much gun violence here. But he's not answering it correctly. He's, you know, gone out and tried to bring in, you know, come on in, community people, and tell me what the problems are. And he lets them speak a little bit and then doesn't really listen. So, you know, that's what I wanted to talk to him about. Although I do believe, again, that he's got some good intentions and there's been some revitalization. They've knocked down some of the, you know, dilapidated houses and things and made some improvements, but you're just missing the mark on what's wrong with people and why they're deciding to turn on each other, okay? So why did I go into this? I'm sorry. Georgia politicians. That's why, Addie. Sorry. But
no worries. Yeah, I'm learning. I find Georgia politics fascinating. It's another one of those kind of power centers geopolitically in America that I was unaware about.
Yeah, it's a weird little, like I said, very tightly controlled in a way, but a lot of chaos when it comes to, they'll try anything. I think they beta test stuff. You know, before you send your problems to Arizona, test them in Georgia. I really feel like that as far as, you know, election manipulation and everything else. And, you know, Reality Winner was also in Georgia, remember? So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just saying it's a very weird place that people don't think of a lot of times in America as, you know, a political hotbed of activity, but really is. Anyhow.
Yeah. Definitely.
So,
and I hope to cover it some more this year.
Yeah, but seriously, like, open up all your options, and I guarantee you'll find something that is so bizarre that I'll be surprised. And I think it should all be dumped out on the table. I think people should see all this, because that's the only way that we're ever going to be able to answer for it. Because you ask the average person in my area, and you don't get any idea from them that anything went wrong one way or another. And if they do, it's sort of like, well, if they're a Trump supporter, you know, well, they stole it from Trump. Okay, why do you say that? They have no idea. Okay, and then you go to somebody else who says, well, Biden probably won by more because everybody hated Trump. And you go, okay, well, why do you say that? They have no idea. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you go down the line on the locals and the governors and everything else. And, okay, did you realize there was a Libertarian candidate running for governor? No. You can see that from his numbers. I like the guy, Ted Metz. He was a good guy and actually did my show. You know, when Abrams ran against this guy. And, you know, don't make no mistake, our governor being in charge of the elections when he won, I'm sorry. That's not the way that should look. You know, I mean, as Secretary of State, he had Raffensperger's job before him, right? So the whole thing. And then you go back and you look at the previous governors and you're like, well, kind of makes sense. That's how you get in there. Nothing is on the level, is all I'm saying. Nothing. Okay. Everything's tilted. You just got to figure out where the tilts are. All right. So forget about Georgia politics for a minute, because I'm sure you had some other stuff, and I want to find out where you're going next, because, look, man, we got about 14 minutes. So what do you got in your sights for what it is you're going to cover next, where you're going to be, so when people do decide to go over to your Twitter, your Rockfin, or anything else, you got some special stuff at Patreon? Oh, no, wait. You didn't do Patreon anymore, did you?
Yeah, I'm still on Patreon, and okay. I do have a Buy Me a Coffee Subscribestar as well. I try to send people to Buy Me a Coffee now, but I still update my Patreon regularly. Yeah, but yeah, as far as what's going on next, you know, as I mentioned, I still hope to cover what's going on in Georgia. I want to say the primary is the 22nd of May. It's in May, so that to look forward to. And I'm heading down to Florida again. You mentioned I went down there after the trial. I was looking into the death of a YouTuber, journalist, video journalist, Kirsten W.
Right.
So I'm going to do, I think, a bit of a follow-up on that. And at some point this year, I'm thinking it's going to be late spring or early summer perhaps, because the sentencing date for Ghislaine Maxwell is on the 25th of June. And that's if that mistrial doesn't happen.
Right.
But I do plan on heading to the Southwest to kind of cover what's been going on with the border, whether that means, you know, the trafficking thing or just the immigration. But really the drug war was the initial draw before that. But it's something I'm going to play with, because there's somebody I want to meet up with in Arizona and California. So I'm going to kind of combine that all into one trip. But it's principally to cover what's been going on both in Mexico and in the United States, kind of on both sides of the border. So I'm just kind of fleshing out when exactly that's going to be. But in the meanwhile...
Well, you know, if you're going to go to South Texas, just really quickly, Addy, if you're going to go to South Texas, let me know, because I'll get you in contact with Sally Castillo, who still lives down there. You probably know who he is, right?
I'm not sure if I'm familiar. Maybe you could remind me.
You've seen him in a few, drug war documentaries. He's a former DEA agent that wrote the book Powder Burns. Anyway,
put a pin in it.
Take a look at him later. But he's somebody I just had on the show again recently. I love talking to the guy. I've interviewed him several times over the years. And there's a guy who has some interesting insights into the drug war, not only in the 80s and the Iran-Contra thing, which he was in the middle of, but, what has gone on since, okay? So he might be an interesting guy to stop by and catch an interview with, all right?
Yeah.
If you're in South Texas. But, hell, I definitely want to follow all that. One quick question, though, about Kirsten W. See, I'm not super familiar with a lot of these YouTubers. So maybe give people an idea. It might be somebody else listening, doesn't know who she was or anything else, what happened to her. Bullet points, if you could, on that. And tell us what it is that you're going to be following up on before you wind up going out to the Southwest, which, who knows, on your adventures you might discover new leads on new trails that you got to follow anyway. So I'll be interested to see where that goes. But Kirsten W., if you don't mind, real quick.
Yeah. So she was a YouTuber and kind of an independent alternative media personality. And she passed away on the 6th of January of this year. And I opened an investigation into what happened there for several reasons. Principally, though, it was probably because I actually ghost wrote her book, which did really well on Amazon. And that went number one, I think, in intelligence, I want to say. And so that was exciting. And that was last year when we worked on that. And she was, to be frank, heavily associated with the Q movement, which I definitely did not espouse. However, we did work together for some period of time before going our own ways. And then when I got that news, it was from a few people who messaged me and telling me what happened, which came as a big surprise. So I will publish the results of that investigation probably – with by the end of my time that I'm ready to leave Florida, which again won't be until next month. So because I'm heading down south again at the end of this month. So yes, she's had a pretty big YouTube channel too. Is I want to say it was 80,000 or 100,000, but I'm just open to talk to anybody and interview pretty much anyone. I mean, maybe now I'm a little more selective with my time. But yeah, that's kind of how we met. It was just, reaching out to people for interviews.
No, fair enough. I just wanted to get the bullet points on it because I vaguely remember who she was, but, and again, I was not a Q person. So, I mean, I got a lot of views on that and we don't have time for it right now, but point is that, because I really believe that one guy that, was running that server at where was it, the Philippines? You know, I actually believe that guy might have indeed been the author of a lot of that stuff. But that's me. What can I say? A lot of rabbit trails there where, the holes might not go all the way through is all I'm saying. There's a lot of weirdness there. So, and people that got really intense about it, strange things happen to some of them. And I don't know how to explain it all, in fact, one of the guys, never mind. I'll tell you that off air. but there's a whole legal thing that could still come back. I don't want to be subpoenaed. Anyways, the problem is, well, look, I don't mind it if it's, for a good cause, but I don't have much to offer, so I'm not going to volunteer it, publicly. So anyway, thing is, I want to be able to follow all this stuff, and drug war is always in my wheelhouse because I think that's one of the most ridiculous wastes of time that we are occupied with constantly and that people are victimized by, because I feel as though there is no war on drugs. You don't go to war with a substance or a schedule of substances, okay? It's a war on people, all right? And I stand by that. And I don't care which president started it, and I don't care who actually pushes it, and I don't care. There's a lot of profit being made, and, you think the dope dealer on your corner's making the money? No. The prisons are making the money, okay? And guess who owns them? Go look it up. I mean, I'm just saying. It is not something that is profitable for people, and quite frankly, again, I'm one of these civil libertarians, a real one, who doesn't care what it is. You want to snort broken glass, Addy? That's up to you. All right, really. Just long as you're not bringing it to me or anything else, you're not trying to put, You don't force it on me. You don't want to force something into my body. Have at it. Whatever it is you want to do to yourself, long as you're not harming somebody else, I figure it's nobody's business. Okay, and cannabis is another ridiculous thing. It's a plant. It's not, anyway. All right, anyway. I'm just saying.
No, I agree. I think it's a war on the weak, I think, to put it really simply. But it's a war on, certain minorities. It's a war on poor people. And like you said, the profits accrue mostly to the prison complex, the intelligence complex, and the military industrial complex.
Well, see, and it's the best stream of income that they ever came up with for anything that you don't want to have on the books. Which, again, is a good reason to talk to Selly, right? Because, DEA agent, they sent him back out in the field even though they knew there was a hit on him. Okay, good thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to check this guy out.
Wild
story. I'm going to read his book.
Yeah, Powder Burns. And they might be making it into something else. They recently released, there's a couple of documentaries, too. If you just IMDb Selly Castillo, You'll see some of the documentaries he's been in, but he's been interviewed by like everybody in alt media at some point or another, I'm just happy to have been able to speak to him too, because he's an honorable guy. He was a true believer, went in Vietnam and all that, and then saw one of his friends die, using the heroin over there, and decided that he wanted to fight the drug war. And went in, with the best of intentions, and then found out, some of those CIA guys and DEA guys were actually, facilitating the trafficking of the drugs, not stopping it. So, the hard way. Anyhow, they almost killed him a couple of times. Good man.
Wow.
And they got him on a trumped up ATF charge later on, by the way, with a shotgun, which I don't buy for a second. it was a bunch of bull. He doesn't really comment on that. He's like, look, you know what? They got me, and I did my time, and I'm done. So, you know, but again, he's a whistleblower that, you know, they turn around, they punish later somehow. Anyhow, I digress. So you're going to go and do those things. I'm looking forward to that. And meanwhile, you're also going to try and cover when the sentencing happens, if they stick to the date now. Because
yes,
I'm not sure about that. Now, what happens if they move that date around? What are you going to do? Are you going to postpone your trip and wait until that comes through, or what?
It's tough to say, Chuck. It's going to happen on if they do change it. It's gonna depend on when it does happen. If they push, presumably if they do change it, it's going to be pushed back and delay things even longer. So in that sense, I don't know if it would affect my plans too much. But it's looking like it's going to be a hot summer for me anyways. This winter was relatively mild, it seems, right, pretty much everywhere. And it's starting to warm up, even here up north in the northeast where I'm at right now. So, if the date changes, you know, I'll just deal with it as it comes, as they say.
Well, you know, worst comes to worst, if you wind up having to stick around New York for a bit, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of action when it comes to civil liberties and, you know, that new mayor. I'm predicting a mess. I got to tell you.
Oh, my goodness. When I saw that video of him just putting out racial slurs against white people on national television, I was like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I went downstairs and it was on the TV and I was like, what is happening? This is the mayor of New York City, and he just said a racial slur against white people, and nobody seems to care.
Yeah, well, they don't care about that. And, oh, he's going to do stop and frisk again. And, oh, by the way, we're going to do it better this time. Okay, what can I say? Addy adds. All right, so I told people there's going to be plenty of links to go ahead and follow Addy's work here in the show notes and all that. So definitely go down there, check it out. Obviously, look, I know that lately I've had a little problem and definitely have said, you know, I can use your support personally, but at all times I advise you to support the people in the independent media that are bringing you the information as best they can. Okay, and one of those people is Addy Adds, and I hope that I'm going to get to check in with you some more, especially as you make this trip to the Southwest.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chuck. You know, I appreciate it. I'll hit you up when the next time I'm in your sticks, too, in Georgia.
Listen, I told you, if you needed a couch to crash on, I'll figure it out. But, I mean, you know, I don't got
much
else.
I'll take you up on that.
I'll feed you for a night and give you a couch for sure. You know, that way you pay for one less hotel room or whatever. You know what I mean? But definitely we're going to do that. But in the meantime, tell people where the main place you want them to go. I guess Rockfin right now to keep track of your dailies and everything, right?
Yeah, Rockfin for video. If people want a readout in case I lose my Twitter, I would say go to Telegram. But both Twitter and Telegram are great, and that's one Addy Adds for both. So ONEADDYADDS. But if you just type in Addy Adds into your search engine, it'll pop up as well.
That's right. And we did discuss on a previous show why he's named Addy Adds. We did discuss.
Yeah, I remember that. That was our first show, I think.
Yeah, it was. I was like, why? And you were like, you know, nobody's ever asked. And I said, well, okay, let's find out. But that's the kind of guy I am. You never know what I'm going to ask, but I try and stay on topic and make it make sense. And again, Addy Adds doing good work out there. And you should definitely follow him and follow up on the stuff he is doing. So thanks again, man.
Thank you, Chuck. I hope I can have you on my show sometime.
Wait, listen, you let me know. We'll figure it out, okay? Just that simple.
Sounds great, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. In the next hour, we'll be talking to Christy Aphrodite, and we're going to get back to the basics, so to speak. So stick around. The Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
Revelation through conversation.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State,
understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
Second hour of The Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com. Of course, you could be hearing us some other time, some other place, some other way, so welcome to it. Hopefully, we've cleared up part of the problem with people being sent to the Canadian pharmacy site. I'm not sure, but... apparently, I need a security team to go in and fix the problem with my database because it was hacked. And does anybody want to hear me talk about this? No. All right. Christy Aphrodite is with me. And, you know, it's funny because a little ways back, you guys might remember, Christy was going to come on and be part of the radio network. And she started to. And then, you know, life got in the way. But... maybe it was a good thing because she got to doing some stuff that she needed to do, well, in the real world, not in the metaverse or the, you know, Twitter sphere or on the podcast. I don't know. What do they call the podcast universe? Doesn't matter. Anyway, in real life, she's doing stuff. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff. And it's always good to hear from Christy Aphrodite. How you doing, hon?
Oh, man, I always love being with you. And, yeah, thank you. I was definitely doing stuff I needed to do, and now I have something to talk about, right?
Well, you know, you've been doing some work, right?
And, a little bit.
a lot of work. And, you know, Mother Nature cooperated and then didn't cooperate, seems like, for a little bit, but... you know, things happened. So let's pretend like nobody knows who you are, and like, how would you introduce like Christy Aphrodite? Who is this woman?
Dude, I have no clue who I am. Why are you asking me? You're the professional here.
All right. So let me take a stab at it.
So I used to talk a lot of shit, and people used to hate me. And then I went to nature in a nutshell, and nature loves me, and animals love me, and so I love them back, and that's what I do. So basically all day, every day, just honestly building my childhood dream, things that I had always held on to and tried to attain and did mildly, you know, self-sufficient lifestyle and other times in my life. And then thankfully I lost it all and got my ass kicked again. And then I got to go find new ways. And now I'm like living the actual dream, not like what I was before that wasn't really built on a solid foundation. And, you know, so.
But what you were doing was learning along the way. And if people don't know, I mean, Christy at certain points was homeless, was, you know, so sick that she couldn't walk, couldn't move. Right. You know, and had
couldn't form words,
couldn't form
complete
words.
A coherent sentence.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't want to go all the way into that, but sure, yeah, that was the truth of it. But had to heal herself. Did not do it with the standard pharmaceuticals because that just made things worse. She found natural solutions. She tried to feed other people. She tried to do radio shows with different people on different networks. And stuff like this. And, well, quite frankly, she found that some people are not always what they seem, even though she was a trusting and good soul about things. Some people tried to take advantage of her. I mean, that's the truth of it, Christy. I'm not talking out of school here, right?
And it was a little dramatic, but seriously, I am so grateful for every step of the way. It was totally needed. And like I used to, when I would talk about my disability and healing it, I after you're on the other side, you know, I gave thanks for it and knew that I needed that to remind myself who I was. So all of the shenanigans that here's the thing, and I just absolutely love it, but all that was taken away or purposely, just all of that, they did me a favor because, you know, I got to find a way, right? And you kind of gain a few things in the process. And when you go back to the simple things and, you know, nature was my healer, thankfully, because I've definitely done the drugs, the surgeries, most of my life, right? And that wasn't working. So I'm grateful for every step of the way, including, you know, you can't have replaced what you're not willing to let go. Right. And so my 30-day journey that turned into 6.5 years of just, you know, most of it me thinking I'll never make it through this. There's videos of me crying saying I'll never be able to do this, but thankfully life made a liar out of me and I did make it. And so that makes me even more passionate to share with other people because I know people are going through a lot of things and being a single mother in a wheelchair and all of that stuff, you kind of learn how to survive and not even just survive, because surviving has like a negative connotation these days. They're like, well, I don't want to survive. I just want to thrive. But I'm telling you, I may live at like a poverty income level, but I live like a queen. There is not anything I want for. And yeah. I am thriving. And so I hope to be able to share things with people, you know, to help them be more self-sufficient, because it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum or religious spectrum or sex or gender or all of these things that people want to fight about. We have several things in common that are undeniable. Right. And one is that they, the people we yell at or we're mad at, don't care about us. And two, we all have the same basic needs, right? Food, water, shelter, sunshine, water, warmth, shelter. And love, yeah. Right? Community.
Well, right. And let me just pause you there for a second, because this is important. I want people to understand, because you start talking about, you know, trauma and all these difficult things that you go through. But here's the bottom line. There is a select number of people on the planet, quite frankly, that are called to be spiritual soldiers. And look, I think of things in a militaristic sense because I feel as though spiritually that's just what I was granted. And here it is. In the military, what do? They break you down in order to remake you. So if you have been sent here to be a spiritual soldier, that means you must be destroyed before you can reemerge.
Right.
And this is one of the things that, well, you and I have shared a lot of personal information, so you know that right. You and I have some, I don't have all the same experiences as you, but, you know, you and I were definitely in the same neighborhood, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so it's very simple. You do have to get to a point where you are on your face and all you taste is dirt. And once you get there, you can then rise up. Now, not everybody does.
Right.
And that's the truth of it. And sadly, we've seen people go along the way, that's for sure. But they were not meant to be rebuilt. And when you do that, you can also teach others to right. not fail simply because they've been knocked down. They may not have been stomped into the mud, but they've been knocked down. And some people can't get back up when they get knocked down. So this is a healing mission. And one of the things that you become proficient at is this self-sufficiency where, listen, if I don't have the stores, the supply chains, okay, what do? I don't have access. I don't have a way to go anywhere. I don't have, well, we know what you do have is nature if you're anywhere near it, unless you're in a concrete jungle, okay? Right. And I know about that kind of survival, as do you. But you know,
a little bit,
it's, you know, but I probably spent more time in the concrete jungle than you did.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but then again, you've spent more time in the woods than I have. So, you know, here we go. Balance, right? I'm not comparing right. you and me. I'm just saying you and I are speaking the same language. Okay.
Right.
So, but being self-sufficient is not something that's just reserved for the people who have to experience complete collapse. It's something to allow yourself to become decoupled from all the stuff that we know is toxic, that we know is poisonous. If you handle it yourself, and I realize, you know, people go, well, it doesn't matter if I grow a garden because they're still spraying stuff over my head. Maybe, but right. you got a lot more control over it if you're the one planting the seed, if you're the one making your own food, which, again, you can do that almost for free, okay, if you know what right. you're doing. And almost for free is definitely for me. And it should be for everybody. You should at least have some of these skills. So I'm amazed that you're still motivated after all what you've, you know, gone through. Because, again, even though I understand that, I got to say, I don't know if I could do what you do where you're trying to heal people and animals and the land. And you're being sufficient and taking care of yourself. And I don't know if I could do all of that myself even. But I recognize the skills. So this is what we're going to talk about today with the next 45 minutes or so. But I want to make sure anybody who maybe did not realize, new listeners and stuff, and I see you brought some friends over to pay attention. I appreciate all you guys for tuning in. Thank you. You know, because you have a great message, and now I'm just going to turn it over to you and back to this discussion of why it is we need to be self-sufficient. So go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. And yeah, so I mean, I guess technically for me, it maybe I was implanted with seeds from my grandmother, you know, growing up in the Depression, and she was the first closest person to me. Right. So even as a single mother, you know, paycheck to paycheck, I still, you know, was relatively entitled. You know what I mean? I had homes that even though I was renting, everything worked in them. They, you know what I mean? I right. had running water. I didn't have holes in the floor, decent neighborhood. You know, I really was not connected to food or medicine. And, you know, I grew up like everyone else in the suburbs. I thought food came from the store. And if something breaks, you know, you call an expert to fix it. Like, there was no self-sufficiency instilled in me. So by the time I needed it, I didn't have skills, and I wasn't okay with that. And in all fairness to my younger self, I learned every skill I was allowed to learn, for example, like laying tile. I was allowed to do that, but I wasn't allowed to really touch power tools and you know, things like that. So, or, you know, I didn't have anyone teach me to fish or wild forage or growing herbs or food or anything. So as far as the, what my grandmother basically instilled in me, by the time when I ended up in a wheelchair as a single mother without assistance, I had food stored. So it wasn't such a tragedy. Like, I had to go get food stamps or things like that. And I do want to touch on that because, like, in my homelessness, I was gaslighted into... See, I personally... I'm glad other people get help and through government services and things. So I'm not knocking it. But for me, because of my experience and past trauma, that was not something I was ever about to do.
Right.
So I had to find new ways, right? And so when you're a single mom and then all of a sudden you're put in a wheelchair and you're like, how do I feed my children? Well, for me, it was kind of obvious. You start reducing your expenses, right? And especially unnecessary ones like cable. And, you know, by that time we had phones and, you know, the old kind of cell phones. So, like, why am I paying two phones? And then, you know, okay, food's kind of expensive and this canned and stuff might last me a minute, but I kind of want something delicious and healthy because obviously in that time when I was in a wheelchair was when I found out that my 40 years, 35 years in and out of the hospital was all due to vaccine damage and then the 24 different pills and seizures, everything else that subsequently followed. I mean, in a nutshell, I found out that I had been lied to and that the drugs were keeping me sick, not hell. And I knew that I was living in a hell and begging to die, like, you know. So right, right. When I found that out, I basically made that my life mission. And I met a chick that told me how toxic I was, you know, the drugs and pills, stuff like that, and suggested that I make a tea with the dandelions in my yard. And that was the craziest thing I had ever heard at the time. But one batch of tea, and that's why I call dandelions the gateway drug, which led my path to here I am today. So when I left San Diego in a wheelchair, I went to the Ozarks. And so for the past 15, 17, whatever years it's been, I have spent my time trying to build a self-sufficiency, or self-sufficient, I should say, community and live off the land and learn as many skills as I can because I never liked the idea of being dependent on anyone. And as a single woman, and I used to be kind of hot, I'm not going to lie, I modeled and acted and stuff like that, but it's easy to become dependent on, you know, whether it's your dad or your boyfriend or some, you know, doing things for you. And I didn't like that because it always came with strings, right? So anything I did, it didn't matter. Like if my car is getting fixed at the mechanic, I would ask them, you know, to explain it to me in English or kindergarten language, I should say. And could I watch and could I see? And so I basically did the same thing. So even in my homelessness, I mean, there were times I lived in the city in the van, but there were also times I rented pieces of dirt on farms and other people that I got to build gardens for and such. So the better, the more time I spent in nature, the better I got. And that's why my major healing happened when I built my shelter in the rainforest.
Right.
And so having that connection to nature and cutting out the middleman, I guess I should call my philosophy when it comes to food or healing. The more I tasted of it, the more I had to have. And then, of course, when you heal all these so-called incurable conditions, then I think it's just natural to want to share it with other people that are suffering. And that's not to say that everyone believes it. In fact, most people don't, and that's okay. You know, we all are where we are on our path. But I will say a lot of people that used to not believe Mother Nature is smarter than man are coming to me now. In fact, I literally just got a testimonial from a chick who, she used to work for an infectious disease agency. I'll just say that. And so people are coming around and realizing that there's something lacking in Western medicine. And if that wasn't true, then why are people sicker? Right. And so I was able to find multiple cures in nature. But let this be said, when I couldn't walk and talk, I made the CIA.gov and PubMed.gov my favorite books. And I freaking read about all the information suppressed on their own websites and all the cures for cancers, which are hundreds, by the way. You know, everyone's looking for this magic pill or this one superfood, and there's hundreds and hundreds. And here's the good news. It's probably some of it, if not even all you need, is growing in your yard right now. So when we find out, as you said, planting a garden, it's close to free, right? And even whatever initial investment, you're just going to keep getting back more and more. So then it's, you know, definitely free, right? So if we're walking on our food and medicine and killing our medicine, right, because they call it weeds, weeds are just really, it's just slandered medicine. You know what I mean? And I don't need to go into the whys and the whos. I'm sure everybody, anyone listening to your show, already knows that there was a concerted effort to divide us from our roots, which is nature, and we are nature. So when we're not living in balance with nature, then that's where dis-ease appears. And unfortunately, the people that we've been taught to go to for relief are just compounding the issue. So Ozark's Church of Nature and Magical Food Forest is what I'm building, along with my, I turn all of the medicinal herbs into medicine, and a lot of that can be found at mytrueessence.net, as well as videos on herbs and weeds and how to get started and how to make this and that. And, you know, I'm happy to help anyone anytime, because look, what I do, yeah, Chuck, maybe I do a lot, but let me tell you, it's not that hard. Anyone can do what I do. I'm you know what I mean? I hope that, you know, if anyone has questions or whatever in the text chat, and obviously you, Chuck, or things that we can talk about that can help people get started where they are at, right? So whether you're in a city, whether you're in an apartment, whether you're in the country, a trailer park, an RV, it doesn't matter. There is something that everyone can do to be more self-sufficient.
Well, right. And again, like you said, there's useful things all around you. You know, pine needles are useful. A lot of pine trees around people, they don't necessarily know that those are useful. It's funny you mentioned the dandelions, because to me, again, culturally, I was introduced to that early because, you know, Italians putting dandelions on their salads, right? This is something that they always did when I was a kid. Nobody told me that was medicine. See, the weird revelation came to me many years later when some very clever ladies started telling me that your food is your medicine already. You don't realize it, but that's your actual first medicine.
Right.
What you decide to put in your body. And again, there are some things that are healthier in there. I mean, I make jokes all the time, like, how is it that, you know, the fat Italian guy survived so long? Well, between the wine and the dandelions and the garlic, you know, the guy's almost indestructible. What are you going to do? and it's a joke, but it's true.
It is true, because the more you're in nature, and I'm talking like in nature, take your shoes off, take your socks off, leave your cell phone behind or whatever. turn off the, you know, get away from the meters, get like, listen to the sounds of nature. And even that in itself is healing, right? And you're naturally drawn to what you may need. Like, when people ask for help, they'll tell me what condition they have, and I'll say, well, what do you have in your yard? They're like, well, I don't know. So I might go take some pictures. And I had already listed like some herbs that would help them. And then sure enough, they're always, not some of the time, always in their yard. So nature, despite how disrespectful humans generally are, she still keeps giving back to us, right?
Right.
And even as much as you mentioned, you know, poison, you know, all the blah, blah, blah.
Well, the chemtrails, the weed killers, the bug sprays, all this stuff is no good for these things, but it doesn't negate entirely what they are. And, you know, before you keep going, I want to say something else here, is that some people might hear this and say, oh, she's one of these isolated, you know, wilderness women. No, you don't have to isolate. See, that's the other interesting thing, is if you pass this along and educate others, and I approve of this entirely, this idea of exchanging what it is you know with other people, right?
Right.
Now, Christy knows how to handle the plants. Now, let's just say she didn't know how to handle animals, all right? Maybe somebody right down the road does know. So you teach them about plants, they teach you, listen, this is how you take care of your chickens. All right? I'm just saying, if you want to have eggs.
That's exactly how it is here. And that's like when I started Project Love Your Neighbor in 2012, that's what it was about, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed. And people think, like you said, they have to isolate and they have to do every single thing for themselves. Like, really? You're going to grow your wheat, your quinoa, your peanuts, and your tomatoes, and your, you know what I mean? That's, and your beef, and your chicken, and that's overwhelming.
Right.
And so find out, start where you're at, find out what you're good at, do more of that, share it with the neighbors, find out what they're good at, they share it with you, and it's... To me, my mom used to accuse me of, oh, that's so utopian, as if that's such a bad thing. But in my world, Billy Jack, dude, like, that's exactly what I'm almost, I mean, without fighting the government thing, because been there, done that, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I do have great high kicks like that, and I do 50 each side every day when I go feed the goats. But, you know, the free school, all the things that I started way back in Branson, and I tell you, with the break in radio and stuff, I wasn't being rewarded online, right? Like, right. Some are real people and friends, and I love to see them, but for the most part, you know, I've been censored for a long ass time and I got tired of it. So I wanted to build what I had online in real life with real people and real neighbors that talk and live and breathe and come over and eat my food and talk medicine and pick my herbs. And so
And just for 60 seconds, I want to let people know that like Christy was absolutely welcomed onto this little radio network, and you know, we made efforts together to try and get that rolling, but, you know, quite frankly, it just wasn't really coming back to you the way it needed to. And you're still welcome here if you wanted to go back into that. But I think you're doing a lot more good at what you're doing right now. And when it's time, you'll let me know. And
I will. I've really honestly been thinking about like a part time, like a, you know, even if it's because I tried to take on too much. And, you know, the system's set up and I'm ready, but again, you know.
Yeah, it's okay, but I'm just saying, if sometime you say, look, I've got to start doing a once-a-week, like, Christy Aphrodite radio show, you know you got a place to do it already. So, you know, I'm here, and if I got to help you, just let me know best I can from a distance, because we're a few states apart. But you know very well I'll sit there and work with you on this stuff, because I did before. More than happy to, and definitely, value your voice and the stuff that you're talking about right now, especially. And again, here we go. I might have some other skills if I was in your neighborhood that I could add, right? And
exactly.
You can cooperate with people who are like-minded. It's not impossible, okay? Yes, right. Indeed, there are people that are going to try and take advantage of situations, but I got to tell you, if you can get the right sort of circumstances and find that slot where it all makes sense to you, it's all good. You know what? Somebody might be a great cultivator of cannabis in your neighborhood, right. And that's what they know how to do best. Let them do it and trade with them. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, do what you're good. I believe, honestly, everyone should follow their heart. And this isn't some hippy-dippy, rainbow, airy, fair. You know what? I use guns. I don't miss. I shower. Like, I'm very well-rounded. I build. I can do construction. And, you know, I'm not,
right.
You know, kumbaya person.
No, and I'm not saying that saying you're one-dimensional.
People who have skills love to share it, right? Just like you do. You know, you're always open to help people with things that you know, and that's the same in any neighborhood, especially old-timers. Like, I wanted to learn how to cut hay, and, you know, the chicken experts, I go to them. The goat experts, I go to them for advice, and, you know, you kind of make your own thing, and of course, I'm the medicine maker, so that's, and magical yummy food, so that's kind of my thing around here. But the thing is about skills, let me tell you something. This whole journey and me, from building my hay bale tent dome, to the catio, to the greenhouse, to all these beds, to the chicken coop, to all, I didn't know what I was doing, and I still don't. You know what I'm saying? You just, like, get out there and do it. And I just ask Spirit to guide me if I have to watch a YouTube video or ask a friend. But generally, the land kind of tells me what to do, and I know none of it's perfect. It looks like a third grader did it, for the most part. But it makes me smile, and it's functional. And that's all that matters, right? So I think people talk themselves out, oh, well, I could never do what Christy did, or, oh, but you have all these skills. No, dude, I'm learning every single day and learning more. So now I know how to build a deck and a catio, so I'm going to build a greenhouse next. After that, then I'm going to learn how to build a treehouse. And after, you know? So if we're going to, like, survive the new normal, we have to gain skills. We have to be building community, and we have to reduce our dependence on, you know, the people that don't care about us, right? So we can do that by supporting our neighbors first, right?
That is the best way, right? You got to think about it. What was the old phrase? Think globally but act locally,
right?
Well, you know, that's a real thing. And if people did it more often, there might be enclaves that don't require a lot of this interference, and not a waiting area where a Walmart needs to drop and build, you know what I'm saying? Because people are taking care of themselves and each other, which is not a bad thing. You know, and I find it funny. You're like, I still don't know what I'm doing and all that. It's too funny. I find that hilarious because there are people that go, I don't know how to run some of the crap that you do. Like, to me, the electronics stuff.
Right.
And you know this because I taught you how to use.
Right. And it still makes my head hurt. And you're just like, oh, this is easy.
But realize I'm the blind guy going, yeah, I'm going to figure out how to work this. I have almost no vision. I'm going, okay, but I was blessed with somebody who taught me, and my attitude is that means I need to teach somebody else if they want to be empowered in that way. So, okay, it's not as cool a thing as, you know, growing your own medicine, but it's still something that, listen, I can offer that skill. You want
it's
to be able to get the word out.
It's just as valuable.
So, you know, but that's the thing, is people need to think about it this way, is that, you know, those skills, if you can keep your mind functioning well, are very transferable, and you can not only be empowered in the exchange, because there's always an exchange, learn from the other person. You know, you can do this, you can cooperate and develop these skills, pass them along, and you know, at the end of the day, everybody gets to be well-rounded, maybe, if we can maintain it long enough, you know, which is not a bad goal. It's a hell of a lot better than trying to figure out, you know, who it is we should throw into a green uniform to throw into some foreign land to go and kill people they don't even know.
Right.
Okay? Which people occupy a lot of their time with and a lot of resources with.
Right.
To me, this is a whole lot better occupation. So,
yeah,
you know, anyway, I want to get more into this stuff because, I mean, you're growing food and you're doing all this, and you do have a little bit of a crazy cat lady thing going on, though. So
I'm officially, I can't deny it, I'm officially a crazy cat lady now. Definitely.
Well, there was some discussion in the chat room how many cats it takes to be a crazy cat lady. I missed it. The one chatter said that I think she was short by one cat still to be a crazy cat lady. But you're not short at all, are you?
I'm not short. No, not on any level. But even that, so, I mean, if there are crazy cat ladies out there, I just want to save you a ton of pain, okay? And this is getting back to surviving shit. So the litter I used to use was like $40 a bag for a 40-pound bag for the pine. I forget the brand, but I saved a bag still in the closet because, you know, I like to show people this one versus that one. But because, like, cats are rich people's pets. It's total bullshit. So instead of buying, and the pine litter, I swear to God, is the best. There's no odor. It just dissolves. Plus, it's pine. It turns into shavings, so you can use it to grow shit, right? I use it to perimeter the property, to repel, you know, certain pests, and then I grow shit in them that I'm not going to eat. And, yeah, so if you go to, like, Tractor Supply, or I think there's Tractor Supply pretty much everywhere in the United States, you get the horse pellet bedding. Mm. It's the same thing, but instead of paying $40 a bag, you're paying $6 a bag.
Nice.
And it lasts forever. So there is that for my fellow crazy cat ladies. But I want to, yeah, I'd love if people had questions on how they can either, because obviously if we're surviving the new normal, I don't have to tell you that things cost more and they're less available and our healthcare is shit, right? And I mean, I get on my cell phone, I don't even know why, but Google thinks I need to hear about all these food recall alerts and stuff. And I'm like, well, thank God I don't go to those grocery stores. I don't have to worry about that. But at the end of the day, we really need to find what we can't live without and what we can live without. And
okay, so you know what? Let me ask you a specific question.
We have to find a way to make those things possible without the dependence of the beast that is in it for their own benefit, right? Like energy, for example. We know that isn't reliable right now, right? So if you need water to survive, or you need, say, a CPAP machine to sleep at night, or you need, you know, like, we need to really look at our needs on, you know, write it down if you have to, and then your wants, you can't live without, and then you know, really, I recommend for everyone to go 24 hours without power, right? Because it's better to go without it now and know what you're going to do and how you're going to feed your children or water your pets or things like that, right? Or God forbid if you had a power outage for, say, 2 weeks. In the Ozarks, they've had power outages here for 6 weeks. So imagine 2 weeks. If that, you know, Mother Nature happens, things happen. So we really have to look at these things and how we're going to be able to maintain a semi-normal lifestyle if we don't have all of our luxuries, right? Or
right.
We can't just turn on a light or a faucet. What are we going to do?
Well, let me hit you with a specific, right? And I have lived without power for weeks because after Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey, of all places, and believe me, that sucked. because I was not prepared at all.
Right.
But fire became my friend. Just saying. You know, real fast, and thankfully I knew how to make fire. But, you know, because I didn't have a generator, nothing.
Right.
But anyway, here's a specific question, because one thing that I've discovered not too long ago, and I know you're going to laugh at me because it's probably like, you know, I learned my ABCs, Christy. So let me just throw it at you. Right. But, you know, D3, okay, through the COVID reality, a bunch of men about my age, okay, who were discovering that their energy level was bad, they were feeling sickly. I was certainly one of them. I discovered that the D3 was a big help. Now, it helped everybody that I knew, especially men, across the board. But I got to say, a source for it is a little difficult to come by. Now, I try and I get, you know, the nice gels and stuff like that from the store. But is there a way to get that, you know, maybe somewhere else?
So you're talking about just vitamin D, right?
Mainly, yeah. But I mean, I keep getting these D3 supplements, which have helped a lot.
Right.
And, you know.
Okay, so I know a lot of people that high doses of vitamin D and vitamin C have helped people a lot. So.
But wait, one thing really quickly though. I would not stick with the high dose of D3 once you get yourself balanced out, because that's something that I also noticed. Again, I don't know if it's just because of this, you know, between 45 and 55 males, but it's one of these things that if you stick with that high dose too long, it starts not working. You got to pull it back a little, but it needs to be a steady supplement, because we're clearly not getting enough vitamin D from other sources. So yeah, but the high dose is a good thing to start with, but not to stick with necessarily. I'm just saying.
Right. And there is research that too much vitamin D can cause some serious damage. And that is also research that's been suppressed, but that's for another show. Cause if we get into that and we only have 15 minutes left. So,
right.
Okay. So my approach, if I wanted more vitamin D naturally, I would increase my time outside. I would also eat more vitamin D rich foods, which are actually growing in your yard right now, like dandelions, cleavers, chickweed, yellow dock, henbits, nettles, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I used to buy a lot of supplements and stuff. And so this is just my approach now. As I said earlier, remove the middleman.
Right.
So I normally would source what I could in my own yard. That being said, there are some very good supplements out there. And I'll just, you know, I don't even talk to these people because the one I knew is dead, and you know, I'm not making anything, but I do have to say, because supplements are so hard to find, but Beyond Health, Raymond Francis, he put together really good supplements. And when people were freaking out over that, I went and bought a bag of the crystallized vitamin C and vitamin D powder,
right,
just so I do have as a backup, right? But also foods like eggs, you know, egg yolks, mushrooms, as you said, make your food your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if your minerals are in balance, you're going to crave what you need. So if you're craving eggs, eat them, because that might be why. Or even like oranges are also high in vitamin D, or basically any herb that, if you can look at it this way, if it looks like the sun, so for example, sunflower, dandelions, calendula, they're going to be vitamin D rich.
Okay.
And that's what's so cool about our body and nature and how they're designed the same, because the sun, solar plexus, yellow, right, and your power chakra, those same vitamin D rich food, they all work together, right, to heal and help itself. And plus, berries are super high in that. Also, they have many other brain protective properties and antioxidants and manganese, things like that. But again, you could actually get manganese, potassium, thiamine, you know, all the D's, all the B's, C, K, from dandelions, literally, and the whole plant, and it's free, right? So if we want to survive, you know, the new normal, let's say we can't go to the store and get a supplement anymore, then what are we going to do? So I would definitely, as I mentioned earlier, you know, start where you're at. If you have a little yard and you notice there's some weeds growing and you don't know what they are, if you know me, you can ask me, or you can get like a $20 for a year plant app. What's the Picture This, I think it's called, or Picture It, or I don't know. There's a few, and they're not always right, but most of the time they are, and you can always take a few pictures and then go compare it to whatever you see on Google, but see what's growing in your yard first. And a lot of these roots and things are medicine, right? Queen Anne's lace, I'm sure, grows everywhere. Wild grapes, things like that. I know, you know, if you're in like a city, then you want to be a little bit more careful where you're picking your herbs, right?
Right, right.
But as long as you have your own little patch of grass, then, you know, whatever you do is going to be better than what you can get elsewhere, right? So if you do see some dandelions, even if you don't feel like drinking a dandelion tea that day or making a dandelion tea that day, pick a few and dry them, because you know you might need them in the winter. Mm. Or mullein leaves or something that can solve. I'll tell you what, I'm probably not allowed to say this, but you know that C word going around? Everyone I know, and it's like I need more than two hands to count, mm-hmm. and higher, cured it, right, with products I make and weeds, basically, and then pain be gone, and a little echinacea, mullein. Mullein grows almost everywhere, and it's respiratory medicine. It's been respiratory medicine since the beginning of time. In fact, up until, like, I guess a little over a century ago, that was all respiratory medicine. And if you want to treat your lungs, inhaling it is better than taking a pill or injecting it or whatever, right? And there's not one single person that I've met that's had a cough, pneumonia, bronchitis, or the C word that has not smoked that, and sometimes with other herbs, that their cough and headache and congestion and pain was gone instantly. And I have a lot of practice with this, so I'm not just talking shit. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
And I don't know how I could say any more than I really have over the past 17 years, but if right now is a pretty crucial time to be as self-sufficient as we can. And if dandelions are too harsh for you, you know what I mean? Then grow basil, or pick your purslane, or cleavers are delicious, or sorrel is delicious, or, you know, and things like, let me tell you, kale or mustard greens or things like, they grow themselves, you know? So don't talk yourself out of not having a green thumb or all of these things that people say, right? Because we're not doing it. Nature's doing it. And we're just providing a space and hopefully nourishing it with gratitude and love. But yeah, nature does it. In fact, my whole food forest, the only things that have been planted like specifically are the trees, berries, and grapes. Okay. Everything else was left to nature. And food that I have coming up today were planted over a year ago. So, and that, you know, if you just to kind of touch on that briefly, would kind of be known as pre-seeding, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people, you can, so your tomato, let a tomato wilt, for example, on your tomato plants in the summer and let it die there. And at the end, just stick it in the dirt and then see what happens, right? And that's actually, believe it or not, turns out to be a little more effective, because when we're planting them in the seedlings, we want to rush it. That first beautiful day of spring, we're like, oh my God, I got to plant my tomatoes, or I got to plant this or that. And I do it every single year, and I get caught with my pants down and like a late freeze or, you know, and I know better than that, right? But you still want to try to force and be Mother Nature anyways. But if we let her do it, and those seeds are in the ground, they naturally come up when it's right for them. So right. That's why the plants are even healthier. And like the kale and other greens and things growing now, I have parsnips and peas, and those were planted, I don't even remember, they, because each plant, I always let seeds dry on there, and then I just toss them, and then I let nature do it. So gardening, growing your own food and medicine really is not as complicated as we make it, right?
Right.
And nature doesn't grow in rows, neither should we.
Well, there you have it. And again, you know, before we run out of time, mytrueessence.net is a great resource to go to. And you can learn about a lot of the stuff that you've just heard, okay, right there. But also there are products there too. But it's a learning experience. And even with the products, quite honestly, it's a learning experience. And I would much rather, you know, give some money to you, okay, or to whoever is coming up with this. And I've told you before, I've worked with some different people that have done some really amazing things, and have found more often than not that there is a solution. You just got to know how to find it, and it is right there in nature waiting for you to just pick it up.
Right.
You know, and that's all there is to it. But mytrueessence.net, that's a place to go. And I put it in the chat room. I'm going to include it in the show links after you see all the other links. You know, I always give reference links. But, you know, you also have ChristyAphrodite.com, and that obviously links to the other. I don't know how much is going on that website lately, because I haven't been there.
Nothing. but the player's still there. I think it was over September 2020, it looks like, was my last post.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
But it is a full-time job. It's like under 13 acres, but springs, you know, and I'm going to keep building it because I know that this is my mission. I know that I'm going to be an integral part of the local community food system. I mean, already our nearest grocery store is a 45-minute drive.
Right.
And that grocery store, like, there's no such thing as organic, and you're lucky to find a head of lettuce.
Well, and you know what the old argument is, that they all have, you know, a little health food section. And so just ask yourself, if they're willing to mark this little tiny section over here with the overpriced stuff as health food, what is in the rest of the store? See, because if that's specifically the health food, and I'm not saying I trust that even, what's in the rest of the store? The non-health food. Okay, so, you know, maybe that grocery store needs to stay 45 minutes away. And I understand, look, it's not easy, again, in the concrete jungles, you know, to necessarily, but there are ways of doing that as well. I've tried to have people on to discuss that. It's a little harder, you know, not everybody is good at coming up with organic stuff in the middle of cement. You know, it's difficult.
But you know what? Dandelions will grow in the cracks. And I know we're out of time, but I just also want to say, just so even if we're just planting seeds for a couple little herbs, dandelions are proven to cure cancer.
Right.
They're a blood cleanser, your kidney, your liver. Like, they are literally, it's criminal how suppressed they have become. And with that one little plant, you can make skincare, you can make food, you can make medicine, you can make a tincture, right? And then you have your cold medicine or immune booster for the winter or whatever. So, and again, all of these things are super simple. So if anybody does have like specific questions, ask me. And about my True Essence, I just want to say, I do make special orders. If you're looking for something specific, I have way more than what's on the website, but I do have my own essential oil line now, right, and infused oils in addition to the skincare, pain cream, cancer cure, you know, all of that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And since I'm not allowed to tell you, you know, the federal government can, and the testimonials and the pictures can. So
I can tell you anything
I do, you all can do. And if you need help like designing your gardens or planning like a permaculture type thing, I am always happy to assist.
And you know, I have actually gotten a few of these things myself from Christy and can tell you that they do work. You know, and look, not everything is perfect the first time out, by the way. You know, don't get discouraged if you get something and it's like, well, that seems about right. Everybody's a little different too, Christy, right? So, you know, sometimes you need a little more of this, a little less of that. So the idea that, you know, maybe sometimes things need to be customized.
Right. And I do that. And that's why like I said, I have way more medicine on hand. Because I do it every single day, and I'm just filling up the jars or infusing the oils or all of that. But in fact, there was recently a guy who was super skeptical that Spirit told me to send him a sample. And I forget the name of the condition, but it sounds very painful down below in the male parts and stuff.
Right.
And he said that was the first thing that helped him. And he asked if there was something else I would suggest. And I said, well, this thing might hurt. And he's like, well, that's okay. I kind of want it to burn. I'm like, well, let me just make you one just for you then. So,
right. And look,
so I can do that for anyone.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. So, yeah, reach out to Christy. She can help you out for sure. With a lot of stuff, and it just it also helps if you get into it and you actually tell her everything that's going on. Okay.
Yeah, like don't leave anything out, because I don't want to recommend a herb that will kill you, and it is factual that certain medications can, like for example, if you're on like Coumadin or Warfarin or you know one of those, if I tell you to take white clover for your heart problem, or even garlic or grapefruit,
you know, yeah,
I could kill you. So yeah, if you do come to me for help, please do not lie. Do not leave anything out. And it'll help me design like one thing for you instead of, oh, you need this, you need that, you need to, you know, that's right. Bullshit.
Right.
So yeah. And I also just want to say, I'm not just trying to sell stuff. I want to genuinely help. So I want to empower you and teach you how to do what I do. And if, you know, you work 1,000 hours a week and you don't have time, then I'm honored to do it for you. But most importantly, I believe that empowering community and people to do more for themselves that's my ultimate goal.
Absolutely. So again, Christy Aphrodite, look, if you want to come back on soon and have fun, maybe we could have a discussion about, psilocybin.
Yes, let's talk about sacred plants.
I would love to, and of course I'm more than happy to talk about how that again. There's four guys that I know listen to this show that I owe my life to, because they made sure that I was able to get that medicine when I really needed it, and I am still alive and kicking because of it. Anyway,
I love it.
Stick around and listen to this next little clip that I'm going to play at the very end of the show. But Christy Aphrodite's all done. Thanks to Addie Ads for being with me in the first hour. The Ocelli Effect is finished. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.
every time I've put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.